record on this computer. I like that it has a voice now that says recording in progress when you hit record. That's new, because I wouldn't have known by the little thing that says recording. But hey, okay. All right. Welcome to the Pony Development Sync for August 3rd, 2021. My name is Sean Allen. I'm hosting today. We have two folks with us today, so it's a relatively small meeting, three folks. Our first person is Theo Butler. Theo, introduce yourself so everybody recognizes your voice.
Hi, I'm Theo.
And our second is Gordon Tischer. Gordon, the same.
Hi, I'm Gordon.
Awesome. All right. So we don't have a particularly long list of things for today. If anybody wants to follow along later, you'll find the list of stuff that we went through in the sync stream of the Pony Zulip. So I'm going to start over here a little out of order with the RFC repo. There is a split file constructor to guarantee constructor with ambient auth. It was in final comment period. Last week, there were no comments, so I suggest that we move this right to a vote. Are there any objections to moving to a vote?
I have no objections.
Nope.
All right. So Joe already voiced his support, got my support. We just need one of the two of you to say yes, and then that's a quorum of the four who are going to vote.
Yeah, looks good to me.
Yeah, looks good to me as well.
All right. Hey, Theo, do you have time to do the rigmarole thing at some point?
Yeah, sure. I'll do that today.
Cool. All right. Good. See, does this have more than one commit? Do I need to? Yes, I need to squash. All right. Squash. 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 Okay. Boom. Awesome. I'll go ahead and I'll add a little note to I'm not gonna, because I'm lazy, or things, something, words. All right, let's jump over to Pony HTTP repo, PR67, build HTTP for Windows. Gordon opened this one.
It'll need to wait on the fixes that I have for the Pony C repo.
Cool. All right. So we'll just skip along past that right now. Goodness, that's a lot of diff in there. Wow. So this does building, right?
Yeah.
But then what's all the other? That's a test.
Yeah, I rearranged some stuff in the tests. That's the main thing.
So there's additional testing functionality, right? Okay, I see. And so the release note though for this would be the release notes for this will be that it gets that I guess it's that there's a task now that will build it, right?
Right.
Yep, when it's installed. Okay. And then you, to make sure it was working, you added additional tests or what?
I modified some and then added some.
And those are related to the, because this just didn't work at all on Windows, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so I would say rather than just calling it build HTTP for Windows, right? I'm going to rename this to add Windows support, right?
Right.
And I would say for the release notes, when you do them, just put something like, you know, HTTP didn't used to work on Windows. It now works on Windows, right? That really seems to be, that's the entire gist of it. Like, oh, I didn't know it didn't work on Windows. So there we go. Cool, cool. Right, let's see. This one, I have a feeling nothing else happened. Okay, nope. So there's issue 472 on the Pony tutorial. It's a PR. Basically, Ryan's on top of that. And nothing really to discuss in relation to that one. So over to Pony C, where we have three PRs that have happened in the last week. The first one is 3817, Cleanup Child Process Exits on Windows. That was also opened by Gordon. Gordon, I don't know if you saw, as part of this, I kicked out another issue. I had never noticed that some of the process monitor stuff goes against the style guide and has a camel case rather than snake case for fields. So I kicked out an issue from that, but this can certainly be merged without that being addressed, right?
That's easy enough to fix.
Yeah, but just do it as a separate one. I mean, it makes sense. Just do it as a separate one. Just, you know, it's unrelated to actually what you're doing, and then it would just make it harder to figure out what happened, like, later on looking at it. So do you think an automated test for this would be possible? How does one even, how were you testing it to know that it was working?
But it was, there's a test called kill long running child process, and it was occasionally hanging on Windows. And so I think the test would be to spawn a child process that we know how long it's going to last and wait till it's done and then try waiting on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's reasonable. I would say for that, just because it's process monitor stuff, maybe add a note next to it that it's a new test and we're not sure how stable it is, with a date for like by X, say 6 months from now, right? With the date. Sure. Put a date that says, if you're reading this 6 months from now, it means that it's not flaky and this comment can be removed. Something like that, right? Right. Would be good to go along with it. Right. Cause there's nothing worse than tests which you know when they go in might be flaky, but then you're not the person who knew that when they went in and you're like going, is this real or not? Like the Corral test ones that I had a fun time tracking down. Did you see the what I finally found was the other Corral fetch text problem, Gordon?
I wasn't really paying attention to that.
So that was the test between fetch and update. We're both using the same, we're sharing some files between them. when it was copying, well, they had a base directory of stuff that they shared and they were copied over into new directories to run the tests, right? And sometimes because the files weren't being closed immediately after they were copied, because you know, it would read them and then copy it to the new location, if they weren't being closed immediately, which meant it was waiting for GC. And sometimes when the update test would run after the fetch one, it would fail. And the failure actually was that it couldn't copy the files because it was still open by the other one and they were being opened in a fashion that wouldn't allow more than one to open it.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that was a fun one. So it was like not intended to be flaky. And I kept looking at it for a long time going, I don't understand. There we go. All right. Cool, cool. So good for that. Cleanup and fixes for Windows sockets.
Yeah, I'll take a look at the failing tests. I'm just hoping I haven't made it flakier than it
yeah.
was.
I added a couple. I added a few comments. One was... I think the release notes could be better for this. I think that what you wrote is basically like saying bug fix and just a little bit of like more like, you know, address Windows socket errors and then blah and blah were things that were broken and they should be fixed now, right?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Then if you can change the port to 7669 in the test, I would really appreciate that.
Sure.
No, it's the most important thing to me. Cause that's the, if you haven't, you know, the where, you know, on the phone where, you know, numbers map to letters, that's how you spell pony. And so every network test I've ever written in for pony that uses a port uses 7669.
Oh, that's good to know.
Always 7669.
Oh, and the double H is because I cut and pasted some code that was originally a couple lambdas deep. So
okay. All right. Yeah, I mean it's not a big thing. It's just when I was scanning through it, that really jumped out and caught my eye. So
yeah, I'll clean that up.
Cool. Otherwise. Yeah, I don't think there's really anything else to say about this one. What are the actual errors that it are those in the commit comment?
Yeah. The main error was the one where if you try and connect to a port that's not listening, it'll still think it's connected.
Okay. So I think that's definitely a good thing to put in the release notes, right? That totally. Specifically, like that sort of like that level of detail, right? This is what it did before, which was incorrect. It no longer does that. That would be, I think that's perfect. Does it do anything else, or is that the only thing?
That's it cleans up some things. There was a case where a listener would get multiple connecting notifications.
Ah, okay. So yeah, I think just enumerate them and that would be good. And go back. Cool. Add README for each examples entry. This is 3788. Is there anything new on this? There is nothing new since last week. Issues. There's the one that I opened, 3818, about the style guide violations. We don't need to really go over that. We already did. There's a new issue, 3815, to release 0.43.2, probably at the end of the month. There was a release last night, so thus the new issue being there now. TCP connection does not correctly detect connection failure to a recently closed listener on Windows. That's 3656, which is an issue that Gordon has the fix open for, and the additional activity on that issue is basically Gordon saying that much. Let's see.
Well, not exactly.
Oh,
I'm saying that
really.
I haven't been able to solve this problem. This is a different problem.
Oh okay. All
yeah,
right.
This is when a server socket is listening, and then you try and close it, and your server code thinks it's closed, but your client code will still actually connect to it. And I wrote a client server program in C to see if I could reproduce it, and it happens exactly the same way.
So this is a Windows issue, and I'd say. Yeah, so let's close as can't fix, right?
Yeah.
All right, closed. Boom! I love closing issues. It's great. It's great. We should always find excuses to close issues without doing anything, especially if they're good excuses. 3280. Some standard lib packages have no documentation. Someone whose username is Achugo 5 days ago said they'd take care of this. So let's see. Achugo, is there any assistance we can provide? What do I would suggest? Okay, so basically I'm letting them know that if they need any assistance, asking if they need any assistance, and that if they have any questions on what things do, right, as part of writing the documentation, is I don't know who this person is. I assume they're just starting with Pony, to ask in the beginner's help stream on Zulip, right? I think that would be good.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay. Create test suite for testing Pony programs in their process environment. We discussed this one last week. And yes, that's all just stuff from last week. And we did the RFC. So that is all of the issues that we have. Does anybody have anything that they would like to discuss or bring up? No. Well, I know because we were talking before this. Gordon, as he works through these HTTP and Windows things, these are all in service of getting Pony up working on Windows. So that would be awesome. I do know that Pony up will need to change a little for that because it uses symlinks currently, Gordon. And I believe symlinks bad on Windows. Yes. Not good.
Yeah, symlinks exist on Windows, but you have to have elevated permissions to create them.
That's right. I knew there was something why I don't use symlinks on Windows. I mean, I don't use symlinks on Linux on anything anymore either. I just it just ended up as a world of pain eventually for me all the time. So, yeah. So hard linking, I guess, and we could switch Should we, as part of that, when we get to that, should we switch non-Windows to use hard linking as well? I mean, well, first of all, I assume that hard linking would be the approach, Gordon, or just a straight up copy?
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet. But...
Okay. Well, so whichever approach it is, Theo, you're here. What do you think? Would it be better to do... Would it be better to leave the Unixy type ones as symlinks, or to have everything work the same and have a breaking moment for existing Pony app installs?
I'd have to look at how it's implemented in Pony app right now, since I haven't looked at it in a while. But my immediate suspicion is that it probably makes more sense to actually leave it as symlinks on Linux.
Yeah.
But I would have to have a better understanding of what the plan going forward is for how this should work on Windows first.
Although I think it would be nice to have it be the same on both. Like, I personally would be irritated if like all of my Pony up things that I had installed stopped working, you know? I mean, it's not a big thing if I have to redo them, because I mean, frankly, I usually rarely ever go back to things after I update to the latest nightly or something, you know? Yeah. But I do every now and then for testing. So it wouldn't be the worst thing, but yeah, I don't know. I'd say you were the most domain matter expert, Theo. So if before Gordon gets there, you could weigh in on what you think is best, that would be good.
Yeah, sure. Yep. I might actually just look at Corral and see how it handles these things, if that's something that it even does.
So what Corral does is there's the repos directory and everything gets checked out at, well, so the repo gets cloned into that directory without a checkout. Basically it's a directory that has a .git in it and nothing else. And then in the Corral directory, it creates a directory for each of the repos and does a checkout of a particular version from the repos directory into that. So there is no symlinking or hard link or anything for what Corral does. It's all files, which, I mean, given that there's only a few small, tiny binaries and how cheap hard drive space is, a copy or a hard link, neither one of those seems particularly bad to me, you know, as compared to a symlink. It's like, Hey, no, actually, but Pony C needs to be able to find its standard lib. Yeah, you're aware of that, right, Gordon? That's going to be a pain for you. I hadn't thought of that. I always forget about that. Well, for Corral and the rest, it wouldn't be bad. Coffee. But I think that's an area where sticking to just the same thing would be good. All right.
You can hard link directories on Windows, so that might be the way to go.
If you if while you're in there, Theo, if you have time, feel free to knock off the rest of those pony up issues that we had.
Ah, yes.
I've been doing many other things, and I kept being like I would get to them, but I've just haven't had the heart to learn yet another code base while I keep learning all of these other code bases to do other things. So I'll get there eventually, though, otherwise. Let's see. There's a GitHub REST API library that's coming, which will result in all of the Pony actions that we have. GitHub actions being rewritten from Python into Pony.
Cool.
Of course, I will also need there's a template library will be needed for that, but Andreas donated a template library. Which is now at ponylang/templates. And I'm going to be adding all of our usual release stuff and everything to that and doing a release probably sometime next week for that, so that can be used. And the last thing that'll be needed for the GitHub actions is a using Git library. So I'm going to try to write a little library which uses the Git binary right now. Via the process monitor, but without having to, so that you're just doing what looks like Git calls on top and it calls out to the binary what'll need to be installed, which can replace PyGit, which is currently being used in the actions, and it does the exact same sort of thing of calling out to the binary. So that would be good. I took a look at using libgit too and decided that was way more work that I wanted to take on for what in the end was being able to use Git in a few GitHub actions. So definitely not for that. But there are a number of libraries that are probably going to be kicked out of as a result from the GitHub REST API stuff, including it needs to be made more generic, but there's the strong basis in there now for a library which is much easier to use than HTTP. The HTTP library that goes over the top of the HTTP library, where if you're just doing basic get, post, and delete stuff via REST APIs, where it's a single call and transfer, and you're getting back JSON and it's converting JSON into objects. That's all in place for that, which should be much easier for web developing stuff for folks, which would be good. And because I would like to get a nice web development story for Pony, as lots of people are really into the doing the web development, and it's a nice gateway drug for folks. As part of that general push. I think that having a server side thing as well would be good, like a framework for doing little server side REST type applications. Theo, do you think Jeanette would be good for that, or should we be looking at something else?
I mean, Jeanette see sort of designed to do that sort of thing. And people have continued to use it, getting like occasional bug reports, which is funny.
Would you be interested in at some point, not now, but in a little while, donating that to the PonyLang one, and it'll be the default, here you go. You're trying to build a web application. Go ahead and use these things, all of which PonyLang provides and will maintain. And then if other people want to do competing things, they can. But it's like it's a baseline for people to get going.
I definitely consider doing that in the future.
Cool. All right. I'll ping you about that at some point in the future. on a note for one of the things that's going to be kicked out would be the beginnings of a URI template parser, which would right now can only parse the path segment version of URI template, because that's what I've needed so far for the GitHub library, but it could certainly be built upon. As a side note from that, Theo, I now know how to use Sylvan's Peg Parser library, so I'll never have to harass you again to do stuff for me with that, which is nice. I spent the 2 days and figured out what the hell was going on, and then proceeded to turn around last night and write another parser for parsing the link headers that GitHub uses for paginated results to do next, previous, etc. So that's in there as well. But yeah,
I think it's a pretty nice library to use once you actually figure out how to use it. It's actually pretty easy to get a good grammar out of it.
Yeah, we don't need it for the GitHub HTTP library, but the other thing that I realized when doing this that would be really nice for web development stuff is JSON doc and the JSON stuff in the standard library. It parses the entire thing into a ton of objects that you don't necessarily need, right? Yeah. In the case of what I'm doing with the GitHub API, where I'm taking literally the entire document and sticking in an object for you so that you can then manipulate the object, this is fine and it makes sense. And for what somebody should be using a GitHub API for, it should be great. But I was talking to Joe, and he has a really low-level JSON parser called JSON, which I think we should eventually bring into PonyLang as an alternate thing. Well, actually, what it would be is we have that, and then we build a user-friendly JSON one over the top of it, where it's basically, it just parses, you tell it ahead of time before the document comes, using something like JSON path or whatever for a query language, you know, whatever we can come up with like that, which it can then use so that when it's parsing the document, it'll see whether a particular location that it's at is something that you ask for and store that off for you and give it to you when it's done. But otherwise, don't create any intermediate objects except what's, you know, what's happening for parsing, which in the case of how Joe has it, it's all on the stack. There's no objects on the heap created except for that. And I think that would be good for, you know, higher performance scenarios than things like the GitHub REST API.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And if we, and whenever that happens, when I get around to it, or if somebody else wants to jump on it, I will open an RFC to kick, to discuss either kicking JSON doc out of the standard library or putting this in as an alternative in the standard library. My initial thought is to kick the current JSON stuff out of the standard library and just have two officially supported Pony packages for the two alternative uses that people could choose between. But we can discuss which is a better approach.
Yeah, I think it depends how the new API turns out and what it looks like.
Yep. I mean, we definitely want to have the API first and have it working. And the last thing I don't know if folks are aware, but with Corral, in theory with Pony, you should be able to use two different versions of the same library within different packages in your program, right? So basically where, you know, it's like, oh, hey, here's the here's Valbytes, right? I should be able to use two different versions of Valbytes within different packages in my program and have it work, so long as they're not trying to pass objects of different types back and forth between them. Unfortunately, how Corral works at this point in time, that is not something could actually be done. You would have to do it all manually. And I've been working through some stuff with Sylvan for an approach to do this. And At some point, I'm going to add a new scheme to the use directive, right, where you can do use lib, et cetera, to be an experimental thing to play around with ideas for this. And then hopefully, that would eventually actually replace Corral entirely, and it would the all of the dependency management stuff would become part of the of an overall compilation process and whatnot. But we'll see. This is all very experimental stuff, which is quite a ways out. Still working through issues on it. But could be cool. Those are all of my updates. We still have 25 minutes. Anything else, or should we call it? That sounds like call it. All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming. And we'll see you next time.